In John Knoxville, a lot of red letter editions, words attributed to Jesus. We just recited the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. But in my humble opinion, the real Lord's Prayer, the one that he taught to the disciples, is important. It's the model prayer. But the real Lord's Prayer comes out of John chapter 17. And it says this, because Jesus is praying for us. Can you imagine God praying for us? This is what he says. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. My prayer for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one, Father, and just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us, and the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are. I in them, and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you have sent me, and will understand that you love them as so much as I love you. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me so that they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me, and I have revealed you to them and will keep on revealing you. I will do this so that your love for me may be in them and I in them. You know, Jesus prayed for us. And I think that is really, really cool. Some of the translations talk about the Spirit that will come, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside, the Comforter. And what I want to talk about today is the Helper. And I want to look a little bit at Acts here. I hope and pray that you be getting something out of what I call the Holy Spirit School, because we have a personal relationship with the living God. And the Holy Spirit is our person that gives us that personal relationship with God. That's why it's personal. So we're not all at the same place. We don't have all the same challenges and stuff, but the Spirit of God is our own personal helper. So I want to just take a couple moments today as we finish up with the notion about the Holy Spirit being our helper. Because when Jesus came to earth, I believe, and I think most of us here this morning also believe, that he had a definitive purpose for coming to this world. And we can read the scriptures and we can understand that and understand what Jesus' life was and how his life was just very purposeful, because it wasn't arbitrary or whimsical. He wasn't just hanging out doing whatever Jesus did at the kingdom for his life and say, I think I'd like to go down there, Daddy, and help those people out. Well, he did because he wanted to communicate with his creation. He lost communication with his creation. He tried to send prophets and different things and to tell the people how his love was and everything. And they killed the prophets. So the Holy Spirit came through the Son. As Jesus came to this earth, experienced everything that we experience, including coming out through the birth canal, being born a woman, and experiencing growing up in wisdom and stature, as the Bible says, and up to and including being tormented and beaten and despised and, you know, all the stories, dying on a cross for our sins. And then on the third day, he was raised from the dead, breaking that bondage of the only thing Satan had over us was death. He broke that bondage over sin and death. So that cannot be held over us anymore. Oh, well, you're surely going to die. Well, yeah, we know we're going to die, but when we die, we're going to live again. We're going to have that special place in heaven. So listen to what Jesus said in John 16 again. But I tell you the truth, that is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him. Now Jesus is speaking here, and he's saying, I tell you the truth. I think we all have learned by now, that's one of the sayings that Jesus says that we need to really pay attention to. I don't think Jesus just said, I'm telling you the truth. I don't think that he was making that up. So when you read, when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, we need to lean in a little bit. And we need to understand something. Because Jesus said, I tell you the truth. And it is to your advantage that I go away. I'm glad he said, I'm telling you the truth, because it didn't seem right. I'm thinking, well, maybe I'd like to have Jesus ride home with me in the car. That would really be cool. But he's not. He said he was leaving. So I know I can't get him to ride home with me in the car, except his spirit will come and be with me, and he'll be with me riding home. And Judy says, hallelujah, she says, because his driving is so wild, he needs the Spirit of God to keep me straight. But anyhow, Jesus thought that we would be better off with the Holy Spirit than just having him here in the physical sense. That's something to really think about. I believe Jesus told us the truth, and it may be that we have to maybe recalibrate our attitude a little bit. So we need knowledge. We need to have the Spirit of God revealed to us so that we can make him known and be direct. So a couple simple little things as we get closer to the end of the series. The Holy Spirit will help you. He'll bring you knowledge. He'll bring you insight. He'll bring you understanding. Not just information, although that's important. He will give you understanding into who you are and how you're engaging the world and how you can do it more in a godly way. The theological word that we use may be revelation, because he does reveal things to us. In Acts chapter 10, verse 28, oh, I'll just back up to verse 24. This is when Peter was in Caesarea. They arrived and he was invited to go to Cornelius' house, if you remember some of the story. They arrived at Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for him and had called together his relatives and close friends to meet Peter. And as Peter entered the home, Cornelius fell to the floor before him and worshiped. But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up, I'm a human being like you. So Cornelius got up and they talked together and went inside where the others were assembled. And then verse 28, Peter told them, you know, it is against the Jewish laws for me to come into a Gentile home like this. But God had showed me that I should never think of anyone as impure. So I came as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. This is when Peter had that vision of what was clean and unclean. They were basically talking about the dietary rules and so forth. But the Jews of those days, they didn't go to a Gentile home because the Gentile was unclean. We are no longer unclean. And that's what that vision was. Peter said, God had shown me. So how did God show that to Peter? Well, you can do a Bible study. We can get into all that and about with the rabbis at the synagogue and all that. But Peter was now understanding what God, through the Holy Spirit, was telling him. Because when he had that vision, he just didn't go up on the roof to take a sun bath or anything like that. He went up on the roof, and the Holy Spirit came upon him in a dream or in a vision. And he said in the vision that he had a heart for the Lord. He could have been playing video games or doing something like that, just being a little facetious. But he was up on the roof praying, and he had a vision. And he sees a sheet that was let down from heaven, and inside the sheet are all sorts of things that he's not allowed to eat by the Jewish dietary rules. And he hears a voice that he understands it to be God say, "Kill and eat." He said, "Oh no, not me." And God said to him, "Don't call unclean which I say is clean." So he sees that same scenario three times, and when it's done, there's a knock at the door below. There's a group of people standing there who aren't Jewish, and they said, "We've come from Caesarea, and there's a Roman pagan town there, and my boss said he wants you to come to our house." So the story is then that Peter ministered to Cornelius, and that relationship between Jew and Gentile was coming together, because there is now no unclean in the relationship with God's people. So I'm just using that for an example, because God has shown Peter and us something that I want to say, and simply said, you are not impure, you're not unclean, you're not a second-class citizen. And God said that you are important to me, all of us. And I think from that example, we might need help of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what revealed that to Peter, that he can make that determination to Cornelius. Remember, as we read earlier about Peter, he was the one that denied Jesus three times, and then Peter finally come, and Peter's the one, and we'll look at that a little in the next week or so, about Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people came to faith in the Lord. So here's another little example about how the Holy Spirit can help you. And it's a story that we've probably all been familiar with over the years, is Samson. The one thing that's really consistent in the story about Samson is that we don't understand, we couldn't find it in the Bible anymore, why he was so strong. He didn't walk around with a muscle shirt on. He didn't feel inadequate. Because when people looked at Samson, he did not look strong. We would have known that if he was muscular or different things, oh yeah, he's a strong guy. No. They didn't know that. They knew, though, that he was strong, and they were wondering, how can this guy be so strong? What's his secret? And they went to enormous lengths to kind of understand him. So, remember the story? They burned out his eyes. They thought maybe then he wouldn't be able to see. And they sent a little boy then to lead him around, and Samson said to the little boy, "Let me just stop here and lean up against this post because I'm tired." Samson's strength came from the Lord. His story started at his birth with his parents and a commitment that they made to the Lord and an invitation that God gave to Samson. It says the Spirit of God had come upon him that he would be able to accomplish things that he could not do by himself. And our point being, did you know that God created you for things that you cannot accomplish in your life by yourself without the strength of the living God? And finally, in the Samson story, they're having a celebration. And they all gathered at this pagan temple, worshiping the pagan idol with their great adversary, Samson. And this is what it says in Judges chapter 16. You can read the whole story in Judges 16. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just one more time." And with that one blow, he revenged the Philistines for his two eyes that would be taken from him. Now, I just use those kind of things as not an in-depth study of what took place with Peter and Cornelius or Samson and Delilah and all that, just to let us understand that God's Spirit can help us to do anything that we can do. And I know that, because we don't have a lot of details in the Scriptures, but failure is not final. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We have been misunderstood and we have stood at a distance for a limited time and reluctant to be more enthusiastic about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And just to remind you what we said earlier, the Holy Spirit won't embarrass you. He won't humiliate you. He will help you. Jesus said that it was best for him and for us if we believe in Jesus, but it would be better if he went away, because he could send one greater than him, the Holy Spirit.